morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Today's reading is from John chapter 12, verse 12 through 19. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took their branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." And from Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, as we are gathered here, we bow before you in expectation that you will now speak to us through your word. May your Spirit bless us. May your Spirit open our hearts and our minds to receive the message. And may we all bring glory to you as we obey your words. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, so I've told this story, and I've had mixed reception for, some people think it's funny, some not. But in any case, let me try it. So in South Africa, when the minister comes into the church before the worship service, you know, the pulpit would typically in the middle, and then there would be some steps as he comes up or she comes up. And then the minister, the pastor, would stop on the steps and bow and say a prayer. And so the minister's wife was sitting there with his little boy in the pews, and the little boy says to mom, So why does dad, when he comes in, stops there on the steps and then bows his head?" And she says, "Well, he's praying. He's asking Jesus to help him to preach a good sermon." And so she looks at him, and she said, he looks at her, and he says, "So why doesn't Jesus then want to help him?" So in any case, that's why I pray before we start, because we pray for God's blessing, that the Spirit will somehow use the words I speak to go to your hearts and to be meaningful to you and have a message for all of you. And so it is Palm Sunday, and also Passion Sunday. You know, typically it used to be only Palm Sunday, but the focus has more and more also become Passion Sunday, as we begin the first day of Holy Week. And in a space of a week, our cup, you know, we've been talking about different images of cups in the Bible. In the space of a week, our cup will go from empty to overflowing. And I think we know this passage well, right? We know the story pretty well. Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem. He knows that he will soon sit with his enemies, that they're waiting for him, that they're looking for an opportunity to arrest him. But he also knows that what the psalmist promises, that God, his Father's goodness and mercy will be with him. So, just recently, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He called him from the tomb, and the news of what happened spread to the people. The crowd that was with him when he performed this miracle shared the word of this latest God sign. And so the crowd swells to a welcoming parade, and they go to meet him as he enters the city. And they have branches of palm trees, and they shout, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." They bless Jesus with palms and Hosanna. So Hosanna, like we said earlier, means, "God, please save us." But what they believe is that their cup is finally filled. Their cup is finally full. Their destiny is now secured. Jesus is a powerful king who will conquer the Romans. He will set them free from Roman oppression and restore the Jewish nation. And peace will come upon the land because Jesus is the warrior who will provide for all of their needs. But like, you know, we saw with the woman at the well a few weeks ago, who was trying to fill her cup with water that wouldn't satisfy, that couldn't satisfy. The people come looking for a savior to meet their needs, for an earthly king. And what they're not understanding is that Jesus' kingdom will not be an earthly one, but a spiritual one. And what they're not seeing is that he will be arrested, and he will be tried and sentenced to death, their king. That he will actually be nailed to a cross, that he will give his life for the sins of the world, that the living water needs to be poured out. The Bible talks about God's people as a flock of sheep. Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. And he says, "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I give my life for my sheep." Says, "I'm willingly dying for my flock, for my people." So David, you know, who wrote the psalm, compares God's relationship with us and our relationship with him to that of a shepherd and the sheep. God is the shepherd, we are the sheep. And what we know about sheep is they need pasture, they need water, they need rest, they need movement in order to live. And they depend on the shepherd to lead them and provide for them. And that's how we look at the events of Holy Week. Jesus' final entry into Jerusalem. His last supper with his disciples, when he gave them a new commandment to love one another. His arrest. His torture. His horrible death on the cross. It all needs to happen so we can be moved to green pasture. So we can be moved to water and to rest. That's why Jesus gives his life on the cross. He pours himself out like water for us. He empties his cup so we can be filled with forgiveness and new life. And what is prophesied in Psalm 22, verse 14, happens with Jesus on the cross. My strength is gone, like water poured out onto the ground, and my bones are out of joint. And so Jesus gives everything he has to the events of Holy Thursday and Good Friday. He dies on the cross, and he empties himself for us and for our sins. And in the brokenness of Jesus' cup, our cup will overflow on Sunday. But here's something, you know, we can't miss. Here's something we need to know and realize. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not my own shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That's why I have everything I need. He lets me rest in fields of green grass and leads me to quiet pools of fresh water. God does it. It's not my strength. He gives me strength. I'm not relying on myself to find the way. He guides me. And so even if I go through the deepest darkness, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I may walk through valleys as dark as death, I won't be afraid. Why? Because you are with me. Regardless of what happens in my life, Lord, I won't be afraid because I know that you are with me. So what I want to point out to you is the fact that David relies not on himself, but on the Lord completely. God is my shepherd, so I have everything I need. We, on the other hand, live in a time of self-reliance. We are more comfortable to find our security not in Jesus, but in something else, like maybe our savings or our life insurance, or our bank balance, or living for ourselves. And of course, those are all also important things. But it has nothing to do with your eternal security. And that is not where we should put our ultimate trust. And I think we're often too self-reliant. And when things go wrong, I mean, what do? We often feel the pressure to fix it all ourselves, right? Pull yourself up by the bootstraps, we say. But if you want something done well, well, do it yourself. So when David talks about God filling his cup to the brim, God filling his cup to overflowing, it only comes as part of a life that relies fully on God. A complete trust that God will provide for him, will give him peace, will give him rest, will restore his soul, will give him strength, that God will guide him and show him the way, that God will protect him from evil. David does not say, I'm blessed beyond measure because I'm self-sufficient. He says, I'm blessed beyond measure because I rely on my Savior. So imagine this, would you? You have a cup. The cup is your life. And you're filling it with all the things you do to feel secure. Your money, your qualifications, your job, your inflated ego, your wits, your busy schedule. And then Jesus comes along with a jug full of blessings. And it tries to pour blessings into your cup, but your cup is already filled by all the ways that you try to find security in yourself for the things of this world. Your cup is so full of yourself that there's no room for the living water. And so what I'm saying is, in order to receive God's blessings, our cups must be empty enough to have room for God's blessings. And so today is the beginning of Holy Week, and next Sunday is Easter. But let's not jump. Let's not jump from today to next Sunday and the joy of the resurrection of the Lord without experiencing the events that happen in between. Before we approach the grave, the empty grave, we have to visit the cross. And so let's be here on Friday when Jesus empties himself completely on the cross. When he pours himself out like water on the ground for all of us. Because it's this empty cup that will rise on Sunday and conquer death. A cup that will go from empty to overflowing. You know, we live in a world that's just full of despair. I mean, you watch the news and there are so many things that simply break your heart. The world needs hope, I think, now more than ever before. And I think we all need hope, always. But our hope is not in some false prophet or politician. Our hope is rooted in the suffering of Jesus during Holy Week. Christian hope is grounded in a promise of salvation that became possible in the events of this week. Our hope as believers is the promise that even though the time in between is hard, extremely hard, God is still with us as we wait for the final fulfillment of that salvation. For the moment when God's kingdom of love and peace will fully and completely come. Christian hope is grounded in the suffering of Christ and our waiting for the eternal table where our cup truly overflows. And so just like David many centuries ago, we can say today, you, God, honor me as your guest. And you fill my cup until it overflows. Your kindness and love will always be with me each day of my life. And I will live forever in your house, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, it's what happens this week that enables us to have life and forgiveness. I pray that we will have enough room in our cups to receive the many blessings that you pour into us through your Son, Jesus Christ. May you strengthen our faith and our trust in you so that it'll be complete. Because that's where our hope ultimately lies. That's where our security, our eternal security is. So my prayer is that your Spirit will let us become less and your Son Christ become more. We pray that you will fill our cups to overflowing. As we enter this Holy Week, we pray that your Spirit will help us to make the journey to experience the last week of Jesus' life on earth before the resurrection celebration next Sunday. And we pray this in his precious name. Amen.